Yudtes Shvat, Friday the 21st of March, Rabbi Aaron Hirsch, the connection of the beginning and the end of the Sedra.
So this week's parasha is quite unusual in that, firstly, there are essentially only two themes to it. The first half deals with the Chanukas HaMishkan, with Aaron and his four sons, and then what happens to Nodav and Aviu, the outcome and the Avelus that they, the limited Avelus that they are supposed to have in the circumstances, given the fact that it was Yom HaShmini. And then second half of the parasha deals with kashrus, what kind of animals, birds, etc., that we are and we are not allowed to eat. It's unusual to only have two ideas in the Sedra. And what also seems to be difficult is the connection between the two halves. There doesn't seem to be an immediate idea that brings these two together. So, al pi machshava, there is an interesting concept based on the introduction to the halachas of which type of animals can and can't be eaten, and an idea which is familiar in general terms, and that is, the Torah starts by giving us the simonei kashrus, three simonim that an animal has to have, and then gives us four examples of animals that don't make the cut, if you'll pardon the pun. And the interesting thing is that three out of the four have exactly the same psul, and that it's by no means an exhaustive list of those type of animals that are non-kosher. They are the, basically, any carnivorous animal can't be eaten. So we, for some reason, are only given these four. And more than that, the four seem to divide themselves into two lists. The first three on the one hand, and the fourth. Agav, when it comes to the first three, which all have exactly the same simon missing, and not the freses parasa. So when it comes, there's the gomel, there are neves and the shofan. Translation is not necessarily so clear. But either way, in one case, it says that the simon that invalidates the animal is that it's not mafris, eneno mafris. In one case it says lo yafris, and in one case it says lo hifriso. So that although the simonim are identical, the terms that the Torah uses to describe them are the past, the present, and the future. Telling us that the simonim are not simply a problem of a lack of modern hygiene, and that you get trichinosis if you eat certain animals because they haven't been refrigerated. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. Not in the past, not in the present, and not in the future are these animals edible, because the issue at hand is that the Torah says they are tummy. But nevertheless, we do have two categories. First three, and the fourth. So the Medrash tells us that this refers to the four Goliaths. That these four animals represent, in chronological order, Bovel, Poras, Yovon, and Edom. Edom, Esav, is the fourth, and therefore the Chazir, which is in a category of its own, is the current Golus that we are in. What is interesting is that throughout Tanakh, we have a number of examples of the four Goliaths. And in one way or another, the fourth always is in a category of its own. The Marshal. We have a look at the beginning of Bria, beginning of Bereishis. Bereishis bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve ha-aretz. In the second pasuk, we are already introduced to the Arba Goliyos. V'ha-aretz ha-isa. Soihu, v'voihu, v'choyshech, al pnei tahoim. And then eventually, v'ruach Elokim is ruach of Mashiach, v'ruach hefes al pnei amoim. But when the fourth golos is described as tahoim, it's the additional definition is it's a tahoim she'ein lecheker. There doesn't seem to be an end. There doesn't seem to be a limit. It's like a tahoim is like looking into a black hole. It just seems to go on forever. And therefore it is, in that sense, in a category of its own. When we come to the dream that Yaakov has in Parshas Vayetze, so there is a ladder connecting Shemayim v'Oretz, and we are told, Malachei Elokim Olim v'Yordim Boi, to which there is the obvious question, that the Malachei Elokim should be Yordim v'Olim. They should be, their natural habitat should be Shemayim, and they should be coming down here. So Rashi deals with that by telling us that we're talking of the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael, the Malachim of Chutz La'aretz. But the Medrash tells us that there were, in fact, four particular Malachim that were Oile and Yered. The first went up 52 steps and then was forced to descend. And that was the Malach of the Tsar of Bovel. The next one was Paras and Modai. Went up certain amount of steps, and then was forced to be Yored. Yovan was next. When it came to the fourth, the Malach carries on climbing, and it seems to go on forever. Alt kedei kach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to reassure Yaakov and say to him, even if the Malach succeeds in climbing up to the Kisei HaKovit, and taking its place, Kavayochel, next to me, it will be Yered. But once again, we seem to have the idea that the fourth Golus just goes on. Tahoim she'en lecheker, and here a Malach that goes on forever. The fourth Golus seems to be different to the other three. So I saw an idea in the Sefer Shvili Pinchos. He brings the Gemara in Yuma, that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Eliezer are talking about the difference between the chait that caused churban by Sheni and the other chatoim, the other Goliyos. And he says as follows. The Gemara says, Rishonim shenisgale avoinom nisgale kitzom. The earlier Goliyos were a result of a chait which was more apparent, which was more obvious, and therefore niskale kitzom. We knew how long that golus would last. Achreinim shelo niskale avoinam, but the final golus, lo niskale kitzom, because the chait there, sinas chinom, even though the manifestation of it is sometimes obvious, but the root cause is very much internal. We cannot know if a person is a carrier of this sinas chinam or not, because it isn't that obvious. And therefore it's far harder to eradicate, far harder to testify that in fact it's no longer around, because it's not nisgale. To which Rabbi Yochanan adds, Tova tzipernom shel rishonim mikresom shel achreinim. The fingernails of the Rishonim are better than the stomachs of the Achreinim. And often when we come across this type of comparison between Rishonim and Achreinim, we relate it to Yuridus Hadoris. We talk about the idea that the earlier generations, or the earlier Tkufos, were so different in Echus that there is virtually no point of comparison between the two. But the Gaon says that's not what Rabbi Yochanan is referring to. He is in fact continuing the piece that Rabbi Lozer started, and he means as follows. The first three simone tumo of the animals in Parsha Shmini, where is the simon that tells us that they are invalid? Externally, the tziporno, the fingernail, so to speak. It's the fact that they are not mafris. That's the problem with them. What's the problem with the fourth animal? It's the chrysom. Externally, it's perfect. It's the fact that internally, it's not malagera. So he says, therefore, that's what makes the golus so enduring, is the fact that it's not an external, it's an internal failing. L'maynafgamina. When the golus is as a result of something open and obvious, and the Yetzer Hara is trying to entice me into fate, it's trying to make the taiva that naturally exists overtake my Yetzer HaTov. At least we know what weapons to use to fight against the Yetzer Hara. Because it's quite obvious where the battleground is. Will I give in to Taifa or not? But when it comes to the golus, which is represented by the fourth animal, by the Hazir, there the problem is that it seems to be emes. That what the Yetzer Hara is portraying is not something that is obviously negative. Faket! It comes across as something which is correct. And there's a beautiful comment that he brings from the Baal Shem Tov on a Gemara in the seventh parak of Shabbos in Klal Gadol. The Gemara there is dealing with the Lama Tes Melachas. And at one stage the Gemara asks, Sheichet Mishum Mai Machayev. Somebody who shechts on Shabbos, what of which of the Lama Tes Melachas is he over? And there is quite some debate over it. Rav's opinion is Rav Omar Mishum Tseveya. Tseveya. And Tosfos adds, Asheichet Da'alma Ko'er. We're talking about stump, Shechita. That causes Tseveya. That's the Melacha that you are chayav for, if a person does shchita, the shchita on Shabbos. Says the Baal Shem Tov, al pi pshat, that's for sure what's going on. But al pi machshava, the Gemara is asking a question which is based on the Gemara in Sukkah, that la'osid lovai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will shecht the Yetzer Hara. And the question that the Gemara is asking is shechet, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills the Yetzer Hara, which to the Rishayim is a sar, and to the Tzadikim is a mountain, Mishumai Machayev, what did the Yetzer Hara do to cause its demise? Says the Baal Shem Tov, you know what the problem is? Mishum Tzeveya. It disguised its actions behind a facade of something which is kosher. It appeared to be MS, and it's Sheker Gomor. And that's a far more difficult Yetzer Hara to rid yourself of. So you now understand why it seems to go on. Because it isn't obvious what the cause is, and therefore it's far more difficult to deal with. And this idea, I mean, the truth is that the world that we live in at the moment, the prime example of this is what's going on at the moment in the Crimea. Putin says, I haven't done a thing. They're not my soldiers there. They're Ukrainian self-defense forces. And all I'm doing, Poshet, is I'm affirming a vote that was taken internally. I haven't invaded, I haven't annexed. That's things that, you know, dictators did in the last century. But me? I am the manifestation of MS. I'm just following the legal procedure that took place You know, what do you expect? They're coming to me, having gone through a democratic vote, and I'm just taking this to be ratified by my parliament. But me? I haven't done anything. It's Portia Checker manifesting as MS. This is not an invasion. I read in the Times a couple of days ago, there was a reporter that went over the border, crosses over the border into the Crimea, and basically the moment he gets there, the first soldier he sees says to him, all of us are Ukrainian. None of us are Russian soldiers. So he points to one of the armoured personnel carriers and he says, where are these from? And the guy says, no, it's a tractor. But so, you know, at that point, we're just, this is just, these are, you know, farm implements. There's nothing here that's going on that's untoward. And the result of this struggle is that we are being sold what looks like MS. And the concept of the birth of Yaakov and Esau being described as Yodoy Oichezes Ba'akev Esau is because Yaakov wants to show the world, don't think that this is kosher. It looks it. Externally, you have a look at the foot, so to speak, that you're being shown, and it's all above board. But you have to look deeper. In order to understand the Yetzer Hara of Golas Edom, you have to look behind that which is being shown to you. And the reason it's difficult to tie it down is because as soon as you disqualify a certain Mahalach, it just picks up a new one. If you have a look at the Brisbane Absorim, once again, the Arba Golias feature there. And Avraham Avinu is told by Kodesh Baruch Hu to take Eglah and Eiz and Ayil and a Tur v'Goizel. So it seems to be that there are five animals being described here. Eglah, Eiz, Ayil, Tur and Goizel. Medrash says no, not at all. The fifth is not a noun, it's a verb. V'Goizel means it steals. Tur, this dove, this pigeon, is the fourth golus. But the Goizel, how does it exist? It just steals an identity, one after the other. It is the opposite of the story that we are told as children. It's the king that has only got clothing and nothing else. And each time that the clothing are shown to be invalid, it just puts on a new uniform. And therefore, it exists on an ongoing basis, and it seems to be a golus that can't be defeated. Each ism is replaced by a new one. Each uniform is replaced by a new one. And hence, the Medrash in Parshas Vayetze that tells us that even if the Malach climbs as high as the Kisei HaKovod, and places itself as an alternative, Chas v'Shalom, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even then I will take it down. Because the ultimate outcome of the Roman Empire is not only in its military conquest. It's not only Al-Charb HaTichya. It's also in the religion that it introduced to the world. The religion that came from Rome and that spread across the Roman Empire is a religion that did something that none of the previous pagan religions had attempted. Until then, you had all these gods, but they were demigods. They were 50% man and 50% god, and therefore they could get involved in the physical world, and you had all of these things that they did, generally wrong, but that was as a result of them having a human element, a human dimension, but essentially, you know, they lived on Mount Olympus, they had their own place, and occasionally they got mixed in the affairs of man. Suddenly there came a new idea. A god who is 100% man and 100% god. How that works mathematically, that's the same question as on Purim, I asked people, how many Christians does it take to change a light bulb? It takes three, but they're really only one. So in the same way as that piece of maths doesn't work, so it doesn't really work how you can be 100% man and 100% God. But what was the outcome? It wasn't simply a matter of maths. What happens now is that God is a human being. Fully human. He walks and talks and, you know, you met him yesterday. And therefore, God is really self-worship. It now becomes a case where you can replace Chas v'Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the Kisei HaKavod, by having the Malach of Edom, the Tsar of Edom, climbing up and sitting next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, next to the Kisei HaKavod. Because there is now the concept of self-worship. This is where we've got to. And therefore, I portray myself as being the be-all and end-all, and therefore I am worshipping something which the ego tells me is invincible. It's me that I'm really worshipping. This is, therefore, the connection between the first and second half of this week's Sedra. First half of the Sedra is about the Hakamas HaMishkan. It's the moment there was Hashras HaShchina of V'shachanti B'seichem. Then the Torah tells us, but you should know, there will be four occasions in the future, four events in the future, that will be the opposite of everything that is taking place in the first half of Parsha Shmini. The opposite of Hashras HaShchina. There will be four types of golos that will follow. The Gomel, the Arneves, the Shofon on the one hand, and the Chazir as the fourth. These will be the events that destroy the ability of Hashras HaShchina. And how do we get out of it? So the Gemara in the last Omud, last Mishnah, and the last Omud of Seita tells us that there are various simonim of Ikvus de Mashiach. One of them is that Emes Tehi Nederes. MS will be very difficult, real MS, internal MS, not just the external superficial manifestation of MS, but the real thing, Teina Deris. You're going to have to look beneath the surface and not buy that which the world is selling as MS. Teina Deris. And how does the Gemara describe the event that brings about that level of sheker? The Gemara tells us that in the war between two Hashmonoim, they lowered a basket of coins every day, and in return, they had the karbonus. And one day, they put a chazir, and nost tziparnov, dafka the tziparnov, that element of the chazir, that apparently seems to be kosher, it not tziparnov in the kosel, in the walls of Yerushalayim. In other words, you are now allowing this chazir to manifest as MS, and everything goes back by 400 parasa, as the Maral often explains, 440, 400, it's always the same idea of this fourth golus manifesting itself. And the Gemara tells us that somebody who's Megadel Chazerim, Orur Megadel Chazerim, it doesn't tell us that about somebody who raises, a camel farm. Right? It's dafka pig farming that seems to come in for this level of opprobrium by the Chazal. What did they do? What's the guy doing that's so wrong? The idea is that the Chazir is the antithesis of Emes, because it masquerades as Emes, and really it's Sheker. One last thing. This is, insofar as the parasha is concerned, we're being warned not to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu through its replacement as basically a human being, as ego. But there's also Parshas Parah that we lain this week. And the inyan of Parah to us today seems to be a little bit vite, in that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the preparation, we understand Parshat Zohar, we understand the Shkolim, how they still this Chiyuv, but how exactly does Parshas Parah relate to ourselves? So the Kli Yokor points out in Parshas Kisisa that when we describe the Chet HaEgel in Parshas Devarim, it's described as Di Zohov, an abundance of gold, an abundance of wealth. And the Kli Yokor goes on to say that if we want to deal with an Avera, we have to deal with the cause, not with the effect. He says, Rav Hazov v'chemdas hamomain heviom lidei maisa zeh. It was the abundance of wealth that brought about the Chet HaEgel, ad kedei kach that Moshe Rabbeinu uses it in the defense of Klal Yisrael. You gave them the opportunity. You were ma'irer of the taiva. And the Kli Yokor then says, V'al kein tzivo litein machtzis ha-shekel, l'chaper al ha-choymeid momoin. The machtzis ha-shekel is the antidote to that which they did wrong initially. Why? Because a person has to understand that la'olam ein biyoda yosim min ha-machtzis. A person always has to know that this taiva exists for money. It's naturally placed into the world. The only question is whether the taiva is for 100, or for 200, or for 400. And that depends on how much I've got. Because whatever I have, the taiva is doubled. Whatever I own, there's double as much that my horizon represents as the taiva of taiva's moment. Which means that the Torah isn't telling us how to destroy the taiva, because the taiva is inherent in Bria. The Torah is telling us what we need to do is be aware of it, be cognizant of the fact that this taiva exists, and then, so as the Torah tells us in Sefer Dvarim, Hishom alachom pen tishkach es Hashem aleikecho. Why? Pen toichal v'savoto. You become satiated as a result of eating. Ubotim tovim tivne v'yoshavto. V'kesev v'zov yirbe lecho, v'cholash elecho yirbe. You'll be living a life where your material needs and your material wants, at some level, you seem to have. And at that point, v'rom levavcha v'shachachtas Hashem aleikecha, and you'll say, koichi v'oitzim yodi osali zachay lazeh. That's the problem that we face. That can be eradicated by remembering the Zocharta as Hashem Elokecha, ki hu anlisin l'chol koyach la'asis choyel. Meaning, the chemdas hamomoin is inherent, because if we didn't have chemda, if we didn't have taiva, in the same way as the Gemara in Yuma tells us, that when they tried to destroy the Avodah Zorah for Arroyos, so basically the world stopped existing. There has to be that natural inclination in the world, an inclination to conquer the world, an inclination to be active in the world. We can't destroy it. But what we can do is understand where the things that we've got originate. We have to understand that there is a makor that makes things happen, and that makor is not me. Which means that whereas Parsha Shmini is the possibility of forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu through ego, through the replacement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a false MS, Parshas Parah is the fear of forgetting HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the taiva that animates me to go out and conquer the world, and allows me to feel self-sufficient, to feel independent. These are the two dangers which we confront, and we deal with these two by understanding that there's not the picture that we're looking at which portrays the entire scene, but rather what's behind the picture. When it comes to this MS that's being sold to me, I need to understand, is it actually MS? Or is it superficial MS, which is being sold, but it's real sheker? Is it yodai echezes ba'akev esop? Is it just the external which is kosher? Or is it internally kosher as well? And similarly, when it comes to this Chemdas HaMomim, I have to understand, did I really create it? Or was the Makor HaKadosh Baruch Hu took me out of Mitzrayim with this Chemda that exists, but for the purpose of using it, Latov, and of ascribing everything that exists to its true origin? Good Shabbos.